It's Free For All Friday, so you can talk about anything you want. This weekend, and on Monday, of course, we're going to be remembering the men and women in the forces who died in the service of their country. And, of course, there were many who were involved in conflicts who came home suffering from life-changing injuries. Blind Veterans UK, this charity was set up 98 years ago. Rob Baker is from Blind Veterans. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
This morning. Tell us a bit about the history of the charity.
Yes, we were set up during the First World War. We were founded by an extraordinary man called Sir Arthur Pearson, whose background, he didn't have a military background. His background was in publishing. He founded the Daily Express. He went blind through glaucoma, and he became involved with what's now the RNIB. And essentially, when the First World War started, he became very concerned about the amount of men who were coming back blinded from the war. It soon became apparent that, you know, the war wasn't going to be over very quickly, and there were hundreds of men coming back. So we were founded in 1915 to essentially help care for those men, but really try and help them towards an independent life after sight loss. Pearson, I think, would be amazed to know that we're still going today, but I think also very happy that we still really operate really to that kind of principle.
Up until last year, the charity was called St Dunstan's, a name that may ring quite a few bells with people. Why was it called that?
It was called that. It was a complete coincidence, really. We were founded originally as the Blinded Soldiers and Sailors Care Committee, which is obviously a bit of a mouthful of a name, really. But we were based in our early years in a large property in Regent's Park in London. We were loaned it for the duration of the war, so that's where the men came to for a whole range of kind of training and social activities. So this place was called St Dunstan's Lodge, and eventually, really, the name just kind of stuck, really. It kind of blurred with the organisation, so we kind of became known as St Dunstan's. The men got called St Dunstaners. It kind of stuck. We liked it, and eventually we decided to formally call ourselves that. And so we were that for a long time, but because the name doesn't really explain what we do, we decided recently that, you know, we really had to change it so that we could make it clear that what we're about, which of course is helping blind ex-servicemen and women.
And how? What did the charity set out to do, and what is it that you do now?
Essentially, it's always been similar principles. It's just the kind of tools that have changed. So we essentially provide support, rehabilitation, care, welfare, training. So back in the early days, say the main centre was in Regent's Park in London, and members learnt a range of kind of core and occupational skills. So initially they would have learnt things like Braille, typewriting, things like basket making, boot repair, poultry farming, physiotherapy, occupations that they could continue to pursue later in life. And also a range of social activities. They did dancing, they played sport. Nowadays, obviously, technology has moved on, so we don't usually teach Braille now anymore or teach typewriting, but we do teach IT skills and how to use fantastic computer programs that will actually enable you to access your emails or browse the web. We still do some of the other things as well. We provide all kinds of new skills for new hobbies, so things like cooking we teach, art, which is a practical skill as well, creative writing, arts and crafts. We still do sport, things like that. And we do this through, we have three centres, one in Brighton, one in Llandudno, and one in Sheffield, at which members can learn these skills and socialise with other members. And we also visit our members in their homes as well and provide advice and assistance.
There are a couple of Shropshire connections here. One with Ian Fraser, an early kind of leader of the organisation, who was blinded by a bullet on the Somme at the age of 19 while serving as a captain in the KSLI, the King's Shropshire Light Infantry.
That's right, he was, yes. Fraser is a huge figure in our history. I mentioned before about Arthur Pearson, our founder. He sadly died very young in 1921 in an accident, but he'd always really had Fraser in mind to take over. So as you say, Fraser, having served and been blighted on the Somme, he'd come to us and had taken over relatively soon part of our work. He looked after the what we then called aftercare, now called welfare, the kind of contact with the people we help after their initial training. So I think he was always kind of in mind, really, to run the organisation, but but in fact, Pearson having died early, he became our chairman in 1921 as quite a young man and remained so until 1974, so a huge figure in our history. The other Shropshire connection, yes, is Church Stretton.
Yes, exactly, in the height of the Second World War, a lot of your operations moved to Church Stretton.
Yes, that's right. Our kind of main base by then was in Brighton. We had a fantastic purpose-built centre, which opened in 1938, and we'd originally envisaged staying there for the duration of the war, but it became apparent before too long that it was too dangerous, really. So we looked around for somewhere to move, and yes, Church Stretton was a suitable place, so we kind of invaded it, really, in 1940. We kind of moved wholesale almost there. So the base was at the Long Mynd Hotel, but we took over quite a lot of other properties in the town as well. Tiger Hall, one of the properties, was kind of like took over kind of hospital function. Essex House in Sandford Avenue, various other places, and there were literally hundreds and hundreds of our of the men and women as well by that point there undergoing training, as well as the staff and a lot of helpers.
There are bound to be people in Church Stretton who can remember that.
Yes, absolutely, very much so. I mean, we were very much part of the life of the town there at the time, because it wasn't just that that the men kind of, you know, sat around and had the training. They did socialise with the locals. They went into town. There are fantastic stories of the daughter of the landlord of one of the local pubs, the Plough, a little girl of five at the time, used to guide the men into town, but there was a wire put up from the Long Mynd, which kind of ways tied to going right down to the town centre, so that they could guide themselves down.
Oh,
so they'd,
really?
They'd come in for a drink, they'd go to dances, sometimes they'd go to other local areas, you know, to Shrewsbury, to Ludlow, those kind of places for social events.
And apparently the handrails that the Dunstans used to guide themselves around the square in Church Stretton were only removed quite recently.
Yes, I believe so, that's right. There's still evidence of us being around. We had plaques in the local church put up, the Church of St. Lawrence. And we do go back in recent years. There have been reunion meetings, so which take place still usually most years. So those of our people who were there, who are still with us, who, you know, there are sadly not as many as once there were, but still a good number, do go back usually every year to you know, relive the experience and meet with locals again.
So what does Blind Veterans UK, as it is now known, do now?
We're still looking after people. We're still looking after people, really. Obviously, the First World War generation has now literally completely died out. Mm. But we still have members from really every conflict from the Second World War on, going right up to the recent ones in Iraq and Afghanistan, which, of course, you know, very much on our mind, of course, at the moment as much as any others. And the other difference, I suppose, from the beginning is that we changed criteria in 2000. So we now help ex-service men and women with sight loss who have gone blind through any cause. So it's not necessarily that they were actually been blinded in conflict. Some of them were. But those who have simply suffered loss through diseases such as glaucoma or macular degeneration is very common. They're also very much eligible for our support and assistance, so they can visit the centres, receive advice, support, really everything that we can do to help them put them people back on their feet and, you know, recover their creativity and independence. And we're very much keen to promote that message, because we're currently helping a lot of people. You know, currently it's over 3,000 members, and we help wider family as well, so that pushes the number up even higher. But we think there's possibly as many as 68,000 people out there who would be eligible for our help but don't know about us, or don't realise that maybe they have heard of us but don't realise we could help them, including those who did national service. They're absolutely eligible for our help. So part of what we're actually doing at the moment is trying to actually spread the message that we are here for people who meet those criteria.
Okay. And if you want to find out more about whether you or someone close to you is eligible for assistance, you can find out more on the website blindveterans.org.uk.
Absolutely, that's quite right, yes.
Rob, thank you very much for that. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too.
Dear
thank you.
Bye bye. That website again, blindveterans.org.uk, formerly St Dunstan's up until last year. Lots of Shropshire connections, as you were hearing.